This review was written by Brandon Tensley. John Lewis finally gets a full biography. Raymond Arsenault's John Lewis. In Search of the Beloved Community documents the life of the Conscience of Congress in detail. When John Lewis was just 9 years old, he and his cousin Della May hatched a plan that they believed would get them to freedom. Fueled by their relatives' stories about the North, the two decided they would build a bus that would shuttle them far away from Alabama, from the domain of Jim Crow. "We were going to saw down a tree," Lewis recounted years later. "Somehow we were going to make it into a bus. And then we were going to roll right out of Alabama, leave the place behind for good and forever." This scene exemplifies the inventiveness and energy that were characteristic of Lewis. Born in Carter's Quarters, Alabama, in 1940, he became a freedom rider in 1961 and was a Democratic congressman from 1987 until his death from cancer in 2020 at the age of 80. During his decades battling for human rights and dignity, Lewis helped to desegregate lunch counters in Nashville, crossed swords with President Donald Trump over a litany of issues, and ultimately became known as the Conscience of the Congress. The arc of Lewis's life is ably accounted for in historian Raymond Arsenault's new book, John Lewis, In Search of the Beloved Community, though it sometimes drains its subject of his dynamism, focusing on the bare facts of his life at the expense of emotional punch. Over the course of 500-odd pages, he offers the first comprehensive biography of the late civil rights giant, charting Lewis's move from poverty to protest to politics. The result is a work that doesn't quite resurrect Lewis, turn text into flesh, even if it promises to be a compelling academic tool. Arsenault acquaints readers in the book's beginning pages with Lewis's early desire to be a preacher. As a boy, he clung to this dream so ferociously that he treated the family chickens as his congregants. There was something magical, almost mystical, about that moment when those dozens and dozens of chickens, all wide awake, were looking straight at me, he recalled. And I was looking back at them, all of us in total, utter silence. It felt very spiritual. But while Lewis relished church, he eventually felt that he wanted his faith to be more active, to confront the racial injustice swallowing the South. He found the ideological kinship he had been looking for in 1955, when he heard an alluring preacher say on the radio that Black Americans ought to be concerned with the gates of schools that were closed to Black people and the doors of stores that refused to hire or serve us. This voice belonged to Martin Luther King Jr., and it only amplified Lewis's hunger to join the broader struggle for Black liberation. For the bulk of the book's 19 chapters, Arsenault chronicles Lewis's growth as a civil rights activist. For instance, readers learn about his time in Nashville, where he started studying at the American Baptist Theological Seminary in 1957. Lewis spent Tuesday evenings at workshops in a church basement off campus and was introduced to themes such as Gandhian nonviolence. He remembered that these meetings were stronger than school, stronger than church, because they were the word made real, made whole. Arsenault also revisits well-known episodes from this period, including Lewis's participation in the 1963 March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom and Bloody Sunday, the protest march in 1965, where a white state trooper cracked Lewis's skull as he crossed the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama. Some of the book's most interesting moments arrive a little later, when Arsenault explores how Lewis navigated a changing Democratic Party. By the time Barack Obama ran for the party's presidential nomination in 2008, he and Lewis had known and respected each other for years. But Lewis was also immensely loyal to Obama's chief opponent, Hillary Clinton. Lewis was in knots. Should he back Obama, who offered the party a fresh face and direction, or side with Clinton? He eventually tilted toward Obama, whose political importance was never lost on Lewis. As Lewis would observe, "Obama has tapped into something that is extraordinary. There is a movement. There is a spirit. There is an enthusiasm in the hearts and minds of the American people." In writing such a granular biography, Arsenault has produced a valuable piece of deeply researched nonfiction. Yet, The Beloved Community doesn't quite reflect how fascinating, how propulsive Lewis's life was. Lewis, a person of fierce political imagination, a founding father, in Obama's words, of a fuller, fairer, better America. Feels like a man who deserves more than a historically minded research-forward monograph presented in distant matter-of-fact prose. In recent years, writers have reanimated other revered civil rights figures via biographies that don't bury their subjects under reams of factual details. Journalist Jonathan Eag's 2023 psychobiography of King, for instance, or scholar Imani Perry's 2018 biography of Lorraine Hansberry, that, she argues, is less a biography than a genre yet to be named, maybe third-person memoir. These works call to mind Virginia Woolf's meditations on the challenges of writing a biography that goes beyond simply assembling facts. Could not biography produce something of the intensity of poetry, something of the excitement of drama, and yet keep also the peculiar virtue that belongs to fact, its suggestive reality, its own proper creativeness, she wrote in a 1939 essay. Her answer was yes, because almost any biographer, if he respects facts, can give us much more than another fact to add to our collection. He can give us the creative fact, the fertile fact, the fact that suggests and engenders. Arsenault could, for example, have injected something of the excitement of drama into his considerations of the fights among civil rights activists over their ideological differences. Take the furious rivalry between Lewis and the militant Kwame Ture, formerly Stokely Carmichael, who advocated for black power. The book would have benefited from more rigorous interrogation of this struggle. What were the roots of the calls for black power that drove a wedge between Lewis and Ture? How did this mobilization of rage bring black Americans' emotional complexities to the fore? But instead of meaningfully examining these nuances, Arsenault flattens them into a less interesting and less textured duel between nonviolence and, as he puts it at one point, disdain for nonviolence and interracial cooperation. The beloved community certainly delivers according to its own parameters. Arsenault provides much in the way of the particulars of Lewis's life. There's a lot to take in. But readers might finish the book longing for a more vivid, passionate portrait of Lewis, of a man whose mind was so innovative, so far ahead of everybody else's, that where others might have seen a mere tree, he saw freedom. John Lewis, In Search of the Beloved Community by Raymond Arsenault, Yale University Press, 552 pp, $35.